countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing 295,000 readers the latest farming news and the best of rural Ireland weekly.
Now, Professor Michael Mann of Penn State University is one of the most distinguished climate scientists in the United States. Back in 1998, he published a landmark paper that showed, for the first time, the rapid increase in global temperatures due to human activity since industrialization, popularly visualized as the hockey stick graph. He's just published a new book called The New Climate War. Well, this Monday, the latest report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change will be published. So when I caught up with Michael earlier, I asked him what he expects from it.
Well, you know, the IPCC reports, in a sense, don't come as surprises to scientists who work in the field because they are an assessment of the existing literature of, you know, science that's already been published. And so it's really more the framing than the content that I think is significant. And so the report, I would say, in ever more strident terms, connects the dots there. For the first time, this report is very clear in connecting the increase in these floods and heat waves and wildfires and superstorms, connecting them to climate change. And so that's very significant. Another important area, the slowing down of the so-called Gulf Stream that brings warm water into the higher latitudes of the North Atlantic, including Ireland, for example, making Ireland warmer than it would otherwise be. That current system does appear to be slowing down, and earlier than we expected. It wasn't projected by models to be doing that for many more decades. So there are some surprises in store, and they're not pleasant ones. In many respects, the impacts are proceeding faster than we expected. The warming itself is pretty much in line with the models, but many of these impacts are happening earlier than we expected.
In your new book, you call it the new climate war, the old war being fighting climate denial. What is this new war, and where is it playing out?
Yeah, so the old climate war was, you know, basically the effort by fossil fuel interests and those supporting their agenda to deny that climate change is even happening. But here's the problem for them. We can now see with our own two eyes that climate change is happening. People get it now. They understand that we're seeing these unprecedented extreme weather events, unlike anything they've seen in their lifetimes. So it's just not credible anymore to deny climate change. But the forces of inaction, I call them the inactivists in the new climate war, they haven't given up. They've just shifted their tactics. If they can't convince us that climate change is an elaborate hoax, well, then they will engage in other tactics like deflection, convincing us that we don't need policies to decarbonize our economy. We just need to change our personal lifestyle.
You do talk about these, you know, 4Ds, delay, distortion, deceit, and deflection. And I just wonder, you know, isn't it also, though, the large-scale corporations who are behaving in a better way, who are moving and have moved really quite dramatically, especially in the last year or two?
Yeah, so there's some reasons for optimism here. There is the deflection, there is the delay, efforts to delay action. That's another D word. Doom mongering, ironically, convincing us that it's too late to do anything, potentially leads us down the same path of disengagement as denial. So these tactics are still being used by the inactivists, but we are seeing some enlightened actors within the business community. We're seeing, for example, many of the leading investment funds, the finance industry, increasingly saying, we're going to stop financing new fossil fuel infrastructure. The G7 countries announced at their summit some weeks ago that they would no longer be providing funding for new coal projects. Now, that's good news, but it can't just be coal. It's got to be all fossil fuels. So we need to go farther. So, yes, there's some progress being made. We're certainly seeing politicians feeling the pressure and talking the talk. What we haven't yet quite seen is them walking the walk.
Can I change tack a little bit and bring things back here to Ireland? I mean, we know that food production, from farming to processing to transport, is a significant emitter of greenhouse gases. And there is this idea that if we can get it right on food, we get it right for the planet. But I suppose the sort of ultimate question is, what is the right way? We have to eat, we have to farm. You know, what is the answer to how should we farm and what should we eat?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And, you know, globally, carbon emissions from livestock are only about 3% of total carbon emissions. So we hear a lot of talk about, you know, people shouldn't eat meat, they should go vegan. Look, these are all things to aspire to if it fits your lifestyle. But, we need some perspective here as well. Livestock is only responsible for about 3%. All of agriculture and livestock together, maybe 15%. And obviously, we need food, so there's going to have to continue to be agriculture. But let's keep this in perspective. Two-thirds of the carbon emissions are from the burning of fossil fuels for energy and transportation, so it's appropriate that a lot of the focus is there. Meanwhile, at the same time, we'd like to lower our carbon emissions from agriculture and from livestock, and there are ways to do that. Governments can certainly support policies that incentivize carbon-friendly farming practices, regenerative agriculture, actually using farming to try to sequester carbon beneath the soils, and rewarding farmers for doing that. So there are ways that we can certainly shift towards a much more carbon-friendly form of agriculture, but, you know, we still have to eat. We still need to meet the basic needs of, you know, nearly 8 billion people on this planet right now. The challenge is to find a way to do that in the most environmentally friendly manner.
There has been quite a lot of debate here about the role of methane emitted from livestock, so-called biogenic methane. Some argue that methane is methane, it needs to be dramatically cut. Others say that methane from cows only survives in the atmosphere for a shorter period of time, and it's reabsorbed into the soils, and that it should be treated differently from other greenhouse gases. What side of the fence do you come down on that argument?
I'm straddling right on that fence itself. I'm somewhere in between those two views. Methane is an important greenhouse gas. It does have a very large warming impact, but that impact isn't as long-lived as the impact of carbon dioxide from fossil fuel burning. That CO2 can be in the atmosphere for hundreds of years. Methane tends to disappear from the atmosphere within a decade or two, most of it. And so in the short term, if we're looking at time horizons of, say, the next decade or two, and we're looking to avoid crossing certain dangerous thresholds, then methane is an important part of the picture. We have to definitely keep it in mind. But when it comes to the long-term committed warming of the planet, the focus really does need to remain on carbon dioxide. Now, here's the thing with methane. There have been various studies now that have been trying to figure out where the methane is coming from, because we are seeing methane climb in the atmosphere. We know that is happening, so that's a cause for concern. But the isotopic studies, you can actually look at the isotopes of the carbon that makes up the methane molecule, and there are different isotopes of carbon that are likely to be found depending on whether the methane is coming from natural releases or from agriculture and livestock, or from, for example, fugitive methane emissions from fossil gas, natural gas extraction. And the studies that have been done recently seem to be pointing the finger mostly at fossil fuel extraction, fracking, fugitive methane emissions. So yeah, agriculture, livestock is part of the picture, but an equally important part of the picture is, you know, the continued extraction of natural gas.
And finally, Michael, just one more personal question. I'm just very curious to understand how you mind and look after your own mental health in a world that can be very despairing and can make people feel very anxious. And I just wonder how you manage it.
Thanks. Well, you know, the bottom line message of my book, of The New Climate War, is urgency and agency. Yes, there is great urgency, but it's important to keep in mind that there is agency, that we do still control our destiny. There is still time for us to take the actions that ensure that we don't leave behind a fundamentally degraded planet for our children and grandchildren. And that's what inspires me, and that's what keeps me going. This knowledge comes from being a scientist who's cranked the numbers, who does the calculations, and who knows that there is still time to prevent catastrophic warming of the planet. And so that's what drives me forward, the knowledge that we can still prevail in the defining challenge of our time, the challenge to avert truly catastrophic climate change.
There is still time. A hopeful note there from climatologist Michael Mann. And don't we need it as we face this crisis? Now, we're going to put up a full version of that interview with Michael that we did during the week on the podcast.